Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Game one of 82 is in the books. So much anticipation. DeMar DeRozan's first game with the Sacramento Kings. And, a full roster intact? Kevin Huerter returns. Trey Lyles is back. We got bodies. We got depth. How was it all going to look tonight? There was some good. There was some bad. There's some things to fix. Sacramento falls short to the Minnesota Timberwolves, coming off a disappointing loss of their own in their opening night against the Lakers. They come to Sacramento and get a big win, 117 to 115. Julius Randle was a dog. Ant-Man with some big plays late, and Minnesota prevails in this one. It's so good to be back. Fifth season of Night Chat with Deuce Mason, Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
I'm good. I love that you like putting that out there. The fifth season. It's like you're super proud. I am too. I love.
We've been doing this for a minute. It's kind of crazy.
I mean, we didn't say after the third. We didn't say after the fourth. You know, and it's like the fifth. You're like, yeah, that's a milestone. I like it.
I was going through a lot of videos for our live show that we did last night at Harlow's.
Yeah.
And we had these videos that were playing pre-show. And I'm like, oh my God, it's changed a little bit since we started.
Well, you
just
know,
a little bit.
And I know we're going to talk about this game, but really quick too, Deuce even said to me at one point, he goes, hey, I'm getting a little teary-eyed looking through all these old clips. Like, this has been a journey. And I'm like, no shit, it has. Yeah. And here we are, season five. Here we go.
Here's Kings a crazy lose. Stat.
What?
The Kings have never won a home opener in front of fans at Golden One Center.
Whoa.
The only time they won a home opener to start a season was when they beat the Suns, and that was in front of cardboard cutouts.
Oh, well.
So with fans in the building, they have never seen the Kings win a home opener. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's wild. And that's...
Believe it or not, the ninth season of Golden One Center. Is that crazy?
Whoa.
Yeah, this is the ninth season of Golden One Center. What the hell?
Time flies.
Yeah, dude, man, it's really trippy.
Whoa.
Well, let's talk about the time we had watching this game tonight. There was some good, there was some bad. Where do you want to start? Is it the end of the game, I'm guessing?
I'm guessing you want to go there.
No, where do you want to start?
No, that's you, like, manipulating the situation.
It's start of the new season. I'm not manipulating anything yet. I'm not the puppet master. Where do you want to start with tonight?
All right, puppet master, let's start at the end.
The end of the game.
Just where he wanted.
Yeah. Tonight's a game I look at. Game one of 82 for sure. But I felt like this was a game that the Kings should have won. They should have won this game.
So when you say they should have won this game, where did they lose it to you then?
Well, I think the end of the third wasn't ideal.
Right.
That was not good when Minnesota goes on a run. And like you just... Look, teams go on runs too, so I'm not trying to make that big of a deal about it. But like, ideally, you don't allow an 11-0 run. I mean, you're up double digits, and then you go down entering the fourth, and now all of a sudden they're like feeling themselves. I just felt like Sacramento had them on the ropes. Okay.
Yeah.
But then, okay, you kind of get your shit together in the fourth quarter, and that's where, to me, the growing pains showed tonight, where the Kings at their best tonight were getting some good shots. There was some good offense. We saw some great things from Keegan Murray. We'll talk about him. DeMar did some awesome things. Fox early in that first half I thought was fantastic. Sabonis. But then I felt like the ball movement stopped. And fourth quarter, I don't know if it was because it was a close game, DeMar DeRozan goes into, hey, like, all right, I'm going to go to work here.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of stood around and watched.
Uh-huh.
It's Minnesota loved choppy. It. You played it right into their hands when you're taking tough twos, by the way.
Correct.
And so I just thought when the Kings were looking good tonight, Malik Monk, I failed to mention him. I thought he was outstanding. Thank God they got him back. But I just felt like it got really stagnant for a few minutes in that fourth quarter, and there was a little uncertainty. And maybe you expect that when you're adding someone like DeMar DeRozan to your team, but it just looked like late game situation, they got out of what makes them special, and that is having so many guys who can handle the ball, that can attack, that can draw a double team, and then having shooting around and cutting and all those things.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard after the first game to try and criticize someone like DeMar DeRozan, who had a 20-plus, I mean, he was a leading scorer with 26, right? Got to the free throw line, 12 of 14. Did a lot of great things. But then when you look at that fourth quarter and what he's used to doing is being the guy that everyone relies on. And I think as this season goes on, and because he is like an egoless guy that is he's a competitor, but down to adjust to be the proper competitor to understand what needs to be done to win. And it's not about him not having the ball in his hands. Oh, no. It's just about everyone else making sure that they're moving without the basketball, that things are still flowing without the basketball. Because really quick, he is such a smart player with fantastic vision. He will find whoever he needs to find. And he will also, when he's in like killer mode, he will go for his. But I also think there's going to be this adjustment period where he understands, okay, people aren't going to just be standing around anymore. This isn't the Bulls. This isn't wherever else. This is the Kings, where there are so many different weapons on this end, especially.
And you got to get it moving. Yep. And that's where you looked at the first half. There was so much balance with the Kings scoring. And I was like, okay, everyone's kind of eating at this point. It felt like at that stretch. And look, there's going to be sometimes like you're going to need like, hey, DeMar, go take over. Like,
for sure.
These guys don't have it tonight. We need you to take over this game. But it was just a sequence where he had a couple of tough mid-range shots. And then Monk had a quick three that wasn't nice. Then DeMar missed a layup, and you're like, ah, man, these just seems like these are quick possessions. You're not even making the defense work. And I felt like this Minnesota team, like, you got to make them work. You got to push the pace. Ultimately, like, Randall, Gobert, these guys don't want to run, okay? And so if you're settling and getting in the half court, well, this is kind of when they're pesky out there. They're feeling good, and they get a stop, just one shot and out. They're feeling all the momentum. And then Ant's doing his thing. He's attacking. He's knocking down a three. He's spraying. He took over this game in the second half when he had 9 points in the first half, and then ends up tonight, what did he finish with? With 32. So he was fantastic in the second half with a big-time second-half performance. But, yeah, I just this is something that I think when they go back and watch, you're like, yeah, dude, we left something there.
For sure.
You knock down a shot or two, it changes the whole game.
Yeah, I don't think it's one individual's fault, you know, that the game went in this direction. I think it was a series of plays, and then also what those plays do when you gamble for a ball and a three-pointer is made, and then another back-to-back threes are made, how it can deflate one team while enhancing the confidence of another team. And that is what was happening here. But also, I mean, we can start looking at all the stats and go, okay, look how the Kings only attempted 29 3 pointers.
Hey, we're going to be watching this because in the preseason, I was the guy, I'll admit it, going, not worried about it. Not worried
he
about
was
it.
Guy.
One, they're missing a ton of threes.
For
but
sure.
I'm like, four of the five games, they didn't take a ton. You're like, okay. Well, you know, Herter's out, Lyles. You know, it's preseason. You're playing different lineups. 29 3-point attempts. Well, that would be last in the NBA last year in 3-point attempts. I think Denver was at the bottom, just over 30 attempts per game mm-hmm. from three. Sacramento last year took 39. This is where we go back into in the fourth quarter, just settling a little too much. If you're getting the ball moving, like you're going to have opportunities to kick out and spray it and be able to attempt more threes. You're not going to win games in today's league if the other team is hitting 9 more threes
yep.
than you.
Yep.
Right.
Hitting and that's what 9 more threes.
So Minnesota did.
Yeah.
Minnesota took 50. Okay. Sacramento took 29.
Yep.
Get that number back to like, you know, maybe it's not 39. And I felt like last year there were times like the Kings were just jacking up
yep.
threes. It was just like, that's all they did.
Yeah.
I'm fine with a little balance because on the other hand, you have to acknowledge the free throws tonight where Sacramento was awful at getting to the free throw line last year. They took 20 free throw attempts per game. Mm-hmm. That was the bottom 10 of the NBA. Tonight, they take 35.
Fantastic.
So like there's good from that, but yeah, the 3-point shooting and it's going to be something to monitor. And maybe it's like, okay, you got to get Herter back in the thing. He played back in the things his first game in 7 months. Like he missed a couple of good looks tonight. He
but
didn't play a ton of minutes.
It's not only that. It's not only that. And it's not only, you know, it's like you said, sure, there was moments last year where it felt like, okay, not all threes are created equal. You're just jacking that up. You're not getting the best shot. But I mean, one of the plays I mentioned to you before we came on was De'Aaron pushing. What are you doing?
The beam was on, dude.
Oh my God. I was like, what is happening?
I'm sorry. The beam was
okay.
on. It was just turn that shit off.
Any way.
Yeah.
One of the offensive possessions, De'Aaron pushing the ball up. He gets it to Kevin Herter on the wing. Kevin Herter squares up. De'Aaron backdoor. Kevin does a great job, gets that backdoor pass to De'Aaron. The Minnesota T-Wolves defense collapsed, I believe. Keegan's guy collapsed. Keegan's in the corner. He relocated with his guard, with De'Aaron. And De'Aaron finds him. And it's an open three. And Keegan knocks it down. And my point to that is there could be a lot more motion and yep. actions happening to create these great threes. And instead of creating or just being free and being like, let's just take some of these long twos or
especially,
these mid-range shots.
And we're talking about like middle of the fourth quarter too. It's
yeah.
not like, hey, this is crunch time, final minute. All right, we're just kind of, we're going ISO mode here.
Right.
It's like, no, you got to keep putting pressure on this team. Make them work defensively and get good looks. I can live with missed shots. I can't live with like just missed contested shots or quick shots by the offense. And the Kings had a stretch of that in that fourth quarter. With that said, they stayed in the game and it was like,
yeah.
hey, final minute. I mean, they end up taking the lead at one point.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, are they going to be able to execute down the stretch? And that's kind of what we're fast forward to. Malik Monk, dude. God, I love this guy. This guy instantly comes and has an impact like he usually does. Remember, he didn't have a good preseason, missed a couple of games, and he comes in with the juice immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He had some unbelievable highlight plays we'll talk about, but the one that I'm going to first is that one late in this game where he goes right at Dante DiVincenzo
yeah.
and gets that and one.
It was I mean, again, how
flex
he stays
him.
So controlled, remains so strong with the basketball to finish and get to the free throw line, that alone brings a different energy. But every time there was a play that Malik Monk was doing something great, the crowd was just yeah. into it. And that home court advantage, like those moments are so big
yeah.
and can shift an entire game or can help shift an entire game.
Dude.
And Malik had a lot of those moments tonight.
What a weapon off the bench.
Yeah.
How about the move he had on Joe Ingles?
Oh my God. Joe Ingles.
Ooh. Yeah, yes. Joe Ingles did not last long. How many minutes did Joe Ingles end up playing this game? He played 5 minutes. Yeah, Finch was like, okay. He's out on the perimeter trying to defend Monk, and Monk just juked the shit out of him and dunked it. That was fantastic. Monk also had another nice finish, a beautiful footwork and a little reverse on Nikhil Alexander Walker. Yep. I mean, he had some brilliant plays. But yeah. Anyway, that was a nice and one. He knocks down the free throw, so that was significant. This one killed me.
What?
So the Kings are playing some nice defense. They force, I can't remember if it was a missed shot or deflection, or whatever. The ball lands in Gobert's hands, and Sabonis arms extend. Like,
chest. Go
defend
back to your
with
chest.
Your chest, yeah. Man. It's Gobert. And so you put Gobert at the line, which, you know, in some cases you're like, well, that's not a bad thing, but you just don't want that situation. I'd rather Gobert force up some bullshit because he's going at Sabonis' chest or trying to go through him. Maybe there's an offensive foul. Whatever, then putting your arms out extended to push him. He goes to the line. Of course, the asshole makes both free throws.
The asshole.
I mean, it's just like, ugh. But that was a tough one. And he also had Sabonis had another foul where Keegan, I thought, was in kind of bad defensive position on Ant. Ant took that lane to the basket, went hard. Sabonis comes over to try to get a stop at the rim, but fouls him.
Are you talking about that last for him?
Yeah,
to the free throw
line? That was with 2.2 to go, and that's got us to 117-115.
Yeah, I mean, it was a foul. It was tough. In when you look at a player like Ant, like that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to draw that foul. It's going to be really hard to remain vertical and do what you're supposed to do as a defender, which, by the way, the Kings, we'll talk about that too, I thought did a pretty good job against Ant throughout the game. I also thought Ant wasn't, you know, in his rhythm as well. He didn't look like the first game where he really couldn't find his rhythm, but still ended up scoring close to 30 points, where tonight he ended up finishing with 32.
On 10 of 24. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He got going late, though.
Yep, he did. And that was bound to happen in some ways, right? But again, you look at that final play and then you look at a few of those mistakes at the end, especially with Sabonis and some of those fouls. It sucks. It is what it is. But I just hate that we have to talk about the end of the third quarter and what that really meant for the Kings. What?
Shout out to the chat, by the way. Gobert actually made just one of those free throws. Ooh. He did not make both. That's right, because I had my notes down wrong. So Monk had the and one. It made it 114-114. Then he hit the free throw to make it 115-114. Then Sabonis fouls Gobert. He makes one of two. But still,
okay.
The whole point is you don't want to put him at the free throw line in that situation. It's just not ideal defense by Sabonis.
Yeah. And so then, I mean, I guess you look at all that. You go to the end of the third and just a lot of those mistakes being made. You look at the first half. The T-Wolves only had, 10 points in the paint in the first half? So the Kings were doing a great job there. They ended up finishing with 32 points in the paint. Still not awful, especially against a team like the Minnesota T-Wolves. But then you go again to their three-pointers. And they made 9 more three-pointers than the Sacramento Kings with 50 attempts. It just, it's one of those games where both sides were a little weird in different areas, but it was who was going to be better in certain categories. And obviously the Kings had them on free throws and being aggressive and attacking, and the T-Wolves had them when it came to the threes.
Let's talk about the final play. So after Ant goes to the line, knocks down two free throws after being fouled by Sabonis, it's 117-115 with 2.2 to go. They decide to use DeMar DeRozan as the inbounder, which is interesting, right? Because DeMar, you're thinking that's probably a guy you want maybe out there just to maybe hit a shot to tie it or win
it,
right?
I honestly really liked him being.
Oh, I'm not saying. I mean, I think there's something to that. It's a little confusing. Like, wait, what are they trying to do here? You would expect DeMar would be out there. Keegan Murray, man, if DeMar just noticed him just a tick earlier. Keegan was open. There was no one close to him. And then Keegan kind of flares out. Then DeMar sees him. The first closeout from Reed. Murray takes that dribble in. And then Ant comes flying in. Keegan had to like do some weird like double pump three-pointer that almost went in. That would have been the game winner. It does not drop. Do you think Keegan could have leaned into him and maybe drawn a foul?
I mean, you're thinking, but here's the thing. He's a real hooper and he's thinking about making the shot. He He's not looking for some bullshit call that like, and then guess what we're complaining about? Why didn't he just try to go straight up with it and control his body and take a good shot? You know?
I mean, honestly, my play on that is like, God, you got, he almost, it was a great look.
Yeah.
I mean, he still almost made it. Like, he was open. If DeRozan was able to make that read a little sooner.
You say that, but I also, like, as an inbounder, because I agree, obviously, like, yes, that is what could have happened and it would have been amazing. But as an inbounder, you're obviously told in the huddle that you're looking at this option, this option, this option. Even if you're looking at option one, but maybe option one is taken from, you know.
Well, I know he's going through his progressions type thing, like a quarterback. Like, he's like, okay, am I going to get to Fox here? But I mean, at this point, like, look at where he's got the ball here. I'm going to show it to the people.
Yeah.
And I keep saying 2.2. It's the second mistake I made. It's 2.4.
Jesus.
2.4 on the clock. I mean, Keegan's already open in this moment.
There you go.
You know? And then.
Yep.
Then he notices him. Mm. It gives Reed time to release.
It's a cross-court pass, but yes.
I understand, but he's open, Morgan. Like, literally, there's no one on.
I get it. I get it. But I'm still saying, like, the ball still has to travel that way, giving some players time to close out either
way. Absolutely. The ball's in the air. It's going to give you some time. But I'm just saying, if he noticed 100%. It a tick earlier, I think Keegan gets an even better look. But you're right. The ball's floating right there, which allows Reed to come out, close in.
Mm.
Good contest by Ant. God, almost went into.
I know. Tough look. I like the play. I like that he got a decent look with 2.4. It's one of those games where you're like, they shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. Especially with the way that they came out playing and the way that they made the Minnesota Timberwolves look. I didn't think the T-Wolves were going to necessarily look like they did against the Lakers. I was hoping for a little bit more dysfunction, but there was a lot of inspiration, you know, Julius Randle especially.
You knew they were going to come out and play a much more engaged game in this game tonight. Like, they looked so bad against the Lakers. It was just, they got outworked. They weren't physical. They got crushed on rebounding. Randle fell asleep a lot. And I'm like, they're going to come. I mean, they're just better than they played. And they were still in that game in moments where, like, God, they played like dog shit and they were almost in striking distance to win that game in LA against the Lakers with 80 going off. So you knew they were going to come out better. Randle's killed the Kings in the past. I thought Randle in the first quarter, I was just like, I was throwing my hands up during the game going, I don't know what you do. Like, he's one, you kind of want to live with Randle shooting threes, but they were still contesting him and he was knocking them in. He hasn't shot the ball well from three in a few years. I'm not trying to diminish his talent, but like that's just a numbers game. I'm a big Randle guy. He plays his ass off. He plays hard.
He's passionate.
When he's engaged, like he could be really special. Then you see the first game, you're like, what are you doing? But tonight, dude, he was making everything. So he hits a couple of threes, and then he's like in the paint, just throwing up junk and it's dropping. He ends up in this game 33 points on 13 of 17 shooting. He was 5 of 6 from three.
Yep. I mean, and think about it. He only had 3 free throw attempts.
Yeah.
Hit 2 of them. You know, and this guy was just making so many of his shots. And you say even throwing up some. I just thought the way that he was like being aggressive and bodying through people.
It's his game. He's a tough shot maker.
And he is. But we've also seen the Kings do a decent job against some of these stronger people, you know, stronger players out there. And it felt like there was no answer for him. And that kind of scared me a little bit because it was like, oh shit, exposing the flaws again, the size.
Yeah. I mean, I know we haven't jumped into the things we like tonight. We gave Monk a little bit of love. So I'm glad we're going into like what we didn't like tonight. The size thing is obviously an issue. And like Trey is just coming back. Ideally, I think you're able to play Trey more than 10 minutes, you know, in a game.
Yeah.
The numbers for minutes are just brutal for Sacramento. I mean, DeRozan plays 42 and a half minutes tonight. Keegan Murray played 43. Sabonis played 38. Fox played 37. This is game one. It's early, but I'm like, that's not sustainable. And I know Mike Brown kind of said as much after the game, like, hey, I can't, like, let that happen. But, like, yeah, that's not sustainable. But in some regard, you're like, well, you want to have Keegan out there. Like, Keegan's cooking. He's rebounding well. He's playing good defense. And, oh, you kind of need DeRozan's strength out there. Lyles isn't all the way back. Like, this is kind of the roster that McNair has put together where they're leaning heavy on some starters and they don't have wing depth. They don't have that length. They don't have that size. Like, who's a good option to go throw out Randall? And ideally, maybe it's someone like Trey, but, like, he's his first game back after a groin injury.
Also, wasn't there a point in the game that Malik was, I mean, he was, like, basically the backup point guard?
Yeah, that's kind of what they went with tonight. You know, Jordan McLaughlin did not play. The one thing I'll say I don't like either, and Keon Ellis. Like, Keon Ellis has to play more than 11 minutes on this team. Has to. And I understand, you know, they go, the pushback on some of this is, well, yeah, we need spacing out there and, you know, three-point shooting. And but even if he's not guarded the same as, like, a Kevin Huerter, I've seen Keon Ellis hit 40% from three.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For, like, years now in the G League and the NBA.
Yeah.
And what he does defensively, like, 11 minutes? That he's playing the Davion Mitchell role.
That's what I said that same thing to Chelsea. I was like, I'm getting Davion vibes.
And the difference is,
just like that,
Keon's got greater size, can defend multiple positions, and he can hit the three on a consistent basis. He helped change the Kings' defense last year, and I understand if you want to roll with Kevin Huerter as a starter, and, you know, Huerter only played, like, 19 minutes tonight. They leaned heavy into, like, Monk with DeRozan, Fox, Keegan, and Sabonis, but there, you have to find time for Keon. I'm not saying it's easy with the minute distribution. That's tough. I get it, but, like, Keon, to me, is too impactful for when he's out there to play 11 minutes.
A big enough sample size of what we saw with Keon Ellis last year to believe that, right? I don't know. And I don't want to go in that direction yet, but I'm with you. The impact that we saw, especially defensively, especially when Mike Brown is talking before the game about keeping this team specifically out of the paint, like, that's going to be super important. They did a lot of that, but then when it was going in a different direction, you know, you could have and add that perimeter pressure. Here's with a great Keon example. Ellis. What?
Doug McDermott tonight. What was the point?
I think size and shooting.
But there was one play, defensively, multiple plays, but one where he's like the weak side defender and it's just like, okay, you know, and he went under on a DiVincenzo three.
Yeah.
That Dante missed.
Yeah.
Which was he missed it. And I saw Doug go, oh, my bad. He said, my bad. But it's like, no, there's no my bads. Okay. You've been in the league a long time.
First game.
No, but no, this is the thing though. I would much rather have those minutes. Standards. I'd much rather have those minutes go to someone like Keon Ellis.
I understand. Like, what? I understand. Yeah. And I mean, and again,
unless is this just leaning now? Like, this Kings team is just going to go, hey, you know what? Defense. We're just going to lean into shooting and deal with it because we want spacing with that. But I still maintain that Keon can space the floor.
Yep.
Give more of a sample size. Hit some open threes.
Express
and guess
yourself.
What? They're not going to throw some more all those doubles at Fox and then DeRozan.
You came in so good and calm. First
I know.
Game.
I know.
But I, and guess what? You know Mike
Brown.
I'm
a Keon guy. I just like Keon.
But dude, stop. You know Mike Brown's going to make 1 million more adjustments in these first 20 games.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I know. I get it. And there's going to be, yes, he's trying some things out, the feeling out process, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. I mean, you literally have to when you have an entirely new roster. And I say entirely new. It's the same thing when I told you when I was watching one of those videos where it was just a whole bunch of guys. I was like, oh, yeah, Sasha isn't here. Oh, yeah, Davion isn't here. And there was, like, two others. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different pieces on this team. Sometimes those things are going to take a little bit of time, even for coach to understand what direction he wants to go, what works best.
A couple other things I did not like. Some of the defensive mistakes, I thought in the third that got him back into it, they were gambling a little too much. Fox gambled on one. He tried to steal on a pass to Conley, and then Conley got open and knocks down a three, and you're just like, oh, this is shifting. And it's just like, all right, guys, just lock in. Because I thought overall the defense tonight, from a team defensive standpoint, based on the personnel that they have out there, I'm like, they battled, they rotated well, they seemed like they were in the right spots, they were contesting. There were definitely some open shots that Minnesota got in the second half. Naz Reid hit, you know, an open three. I think Ant got one too. Like, you're going to make mistakes in a game. That's fine. But, like, I'd rather you not gamble. And then especially when you had a chance in the third quarter to really push that lead to, like, 17. And then it would have gotten interesting.
Yeah. I mean, those small mistakes against a good team like Minnesota are so, so damaging.
Yeah.
And especially when you have a game like this, when it started swinging in their direction and you're doing a lot of good. You talked about the way the defense was helping each other out.
Even Kevin Huerter tonight.
That's what I'm saying.
I know the chat loves to dump on Kevin Huerter like he shouldn't be in the league, which is insane to me. He played his first game in 7 months. You have to go back to March. His first game. He didn't play in the preseason. His first game tonight. He ends up playing 19 minutes for Sacramento. Had 2 points. He had 4 rebounds. In his 19 minutes of work, he's 0-for-3 from downtown. One of the looks was just in and out. You're just like, God, that one couldn't have dropped for him. But I thought from him on a team defensive standpoint, he didn't get exposed early.
No, I think his effort was at a whole different level, and maybe his thinking was at a whole different level of understanding of, okay, I'm going to, get more opportunity if I can provide something else on this end of the floor, because he might be hunted out at times, but I mean, wasn't there a time he was hunted out and it was against Ant and he like stayed with or contested, had his hand up at the rim or something, you know, got into the paint, whatever, but then did a good job contesting. And it's like those moments matter, especially with a team that doesn't have the personnel known for their defense.
Scotty in a chest says 7 months for a sprained ankle. No, he actually dislocated his shoulder and tore his labrum.
And had to get surgery.
Yeah. So the shoulder came out, labrum torn, and they went, we got to fix that. So no, believe it or not, Kevin Huerter did not sprain his ankle.
And miss when you have something surgical, like there's a lot that goes into it, even mentally.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Getting back into it and trying to be physical with people. That's why I will say this. With everything that was going on, I still was surprised that he was just in that starting role in this first game back.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I know we haven't talked about that. Yeah, I was surprised. I would have leaned into, you start Keon, bring Huerter off the bench with Monk and get him going that way. You could stagger him still playing with Sabonis too. Like, he can come in and still play with Sabonis and get some DHOs and get different looks. Because like we just talked about what Keon can provide. I think from Mike's perspective, it's probably there has to be something too with, like, he is 6'7". He's got size. They don't have a lot of size out there.
Right.
Just have some more size out there from a spacing perspective. Like, NBA defenses are going to treat him differently than Keon Ellis. They are. I mean, because he has a reputation of being a 38% 3-point shooter in this league. He's done it for multiple years. He just has more of a body of work than Keon Ellis. And so it makes it tough if you're an opposing defense, like, oh, do I shade off here? Do I leave? I can't leave Kevin here. But I need to help on Fox. Or I need to help on DeRozan or Sabonis. You become really dangerous in that situation. Now, Kevin's got to ultimately knock down some shots, but also first game in 7 months.
Absolutely. So. And positive seeing him back out there on the floor. Positive seeing Trey Lyles back out there on the floor as well.
Let's get to some good then.
Okay.
Did we do too much bad?
No, I think we were coming into this. I love that we're just having this conversation. Yeah. I think coming into this, we were like, oh my gosh, there was so much good. I'm excited, even though they lost its first game, blah, blah. And then once we were talking about the bad, it made us go to some dark places, darker places.
I had one brief Keon thing that I just had
the
to Keon say.
The Keon and the Julius Randle just, you know, really exposing the size. Sometimes it's like...
Sometimes inside he did. I thought, again, some of the threes he hit, I'm just like...
No, I get that. I wasn't in, but I was talking about the inside. Yeah. I mean, you know, like he was efficient as shit. And
it was, I thought it was an entertaining game. It was like, I was really pleased overall with like, okay, like for as bad as the preseason looked at times, like clunkiness because it's preseason, you know, there was a part of me is like, okay, are they ready to like compete against a team that's going to come in a little angry, that is really talented?
Yeah.
Like, how are they going to look? And I'm like, dude, they had moments where they looked really good tonight in the first game for DeMar DeRozan and this group. I think my favorite thing about tonight was Keegan Murray.
Oh, same. I loved his game tonight.
He was fantastic defensively. Again, they're asking a lot of him. Like, he's going to be on different matchups. Like, he made life more challenging for Ant. They were doing everything they could to make sure Ant wasn't being defended by Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan was switching and making life hard on other players. And he was also doing a great job rebounding. He led the team in rebounding with 11. With Keegan taking it, like, jump, you need him to be as good as he was last year defensively and then some, especially defending against some of these bigs. But the next thing you need to do is, like, I need you to rebound better. He showed signs of that last year. To start tonight with double-digit rebounds, win.
Well, the double-digit rebounds, one of the first things that I wrote down was him on the offensive end crashing from the corner.
Fantastic.
Didn't get the rebound, but he tipped it.
Yes.
He tipped it to somebody. And I was just like, that aggressive nature on the boards, doing the little things, as Mike Brown says, it's so...
Well, in the fact that I know it's early in the season, but 43 minutes for him tonight and playing that defense and what he was doing offensively. I thought the Kings looked their best tonight when Keegan Murray was active in the offense.
Yeah.
Getting him some touches. How about that nasty turnaround Dirk-esque fadeaway mid-range jumper he nailed over Naz Reid?
His game's pretty. No, and that's it. And his confidence is there as well. Like him, the understanding of what he needs to do out there on the floor. And we'll keep talking about Keegan, but you talk about that combination with someone else with a skill set like De'Aaron Fox, just that speed alone. All these things need to be utilized to the fullest. And to the fullest is not abusing it either, right? It's making sure you find a balance of how to use it. And I think sometimes with Keegan, it's like, oh, we want more. It's like, no. I don't need to see a whole bunch more. I just need to see games like this from him where he is just being aggressive, crashing the boards, playing his defense, getting his shots. People are finding him as well.
He had 23 points. The other thing I was excited about with the 11 rebounds and 23 points, 5 of 10 from three. And Keegan last year, up and down from three.
Sure.
But specifically last season, he took a dramatic drop off on corner threes. So his rookie year, he shot 44% on corner threes. 44%. Last year, 32% on corner threes. So that was a big time drop off. Well, tonight, 3 for 3.
Hey,
Keegan Murray's shooting 100% from the corner this year.
Hey, 100%. What?
So no. Anyway, my point is, it's just encouraging to see him knock down shots, be aggressive.
Yep.
Look for his, because I think, to be fair, there's something we both brought up after they got DeRozan. It's like, okay, like how is it gonna be balanced? You know, like you don't want Keegan for what he can do at his size, 6'8", 6'9". To be disappearing like he's getting 4 shots in a game. I need this type of Keegan.
That was the biggest question. Who, or you know, the narrative that people try to put out there. Who's gonna take less shots though? Who's it going to be? And it's like, why does it necessarily have to be like a specific, why does there have to be an answer to that? And I guess my point is like game by game.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what it's going to be, is game by game. Who has the hot hand? Who has the better matchup? Who is the one that is showing consistency throughout the season? Like, that there just needs to be a balance of it. And then there's going to be games where someone just has a way higher number and is attempting way more shots. And the game could be bad. It could be good. But, like, that's just going to happen in a season like this.
No. And tonight, DeRozan led the team with 18 shots. Keegan had 17, Sabonis 13, then Fox 14. Those were the guys. And then Monk had 9, 6 of 9. Monk needs some more shots, man.
Yeah.
Get it going.
But, I mean, Monk in his 26 minutes as well, right?
Yep.
That's Mike Brown still figuring out what he's trying to do with the rotation, timing, all of those things as well. Something else that we keep talking about when it comes to the ball flowing, you look at the assist numbers, 21 assists, and you and I were talking about this. We're like, hey, Sabonis only had one assist, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's something to monitor. And tonight, there was definitely times where his teammates, like, missed shots.
For
like,
sure.
Or got to the free throw, got fouled. And yep. So, you know, but it wasn't like we're so used to seeing Sabonis have, like, eight. I mean,
in the preseason alone, it was, like, dropping dimes.
And, you know, teams know that they want to run the offense through him, but the Kings were doing other things tonight for sure.
Yeah.
He led the NBA in total assists from January on last year.
Not for big men.
For the whole league. Insane, league. Right? Yeah, so to see him with one was kind of crazy. And that's where I go back to, you know, these situations where it's like, hey, there's 7 minutes to go. It's okay to get him the ball at the elbow and let's orchestrate our offense. Let's get some action going, right? And that's where the Kings, I thought, got too stagnant. And that's what was really disappointing.
Yeah. And going to those assists, though, I thought you made another great point when I said this, though. Yeah. You were like, yeah, but, you know, at least De'Aaron had 11, right? I mean, that number alone, I didn't really notice until we were going into the podcast. I was like, holy shit, he had 11 assists. He had 15 points.
I didn't love his game in the second half. He missed some good looks. The one play I did love late is he had a wide open mid-range shot. That was the one where the rebound went off his fingertips. They challenged out of bounds.
So
that sucked. But, like, that was a great look. He just missed it. But, yeah, I thought he came out of the gates. Like, I was like, Jesus. This guy is everywhere on both ends. You know, first
so
play
fast.
Of the game, he rips it from Randall, gets it to DeRozan for the score, defensively getting deflections. He was attacking. He had some beautiful moves on McDaniels, a guy that has given him problems in the past defensively. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. And then late, it just seemed like he couldn't get into any rhythm. But again, I thought they were forcing it too much.
It was clunky.
In the tough shots.
Yep.
It was clunky tonight.
Yeah.
It's fair to say it was clunky. And they still scored 115 points and had a chance to win.
Let De'Aaron be fast as shit. I know it's hard to score when Gobert's there protecting the rim, Naz Reid, whoever, you know, I understand. But, like, you see that he's capable of adjusting his game when he is in there as well with floaters, with a mid-range shot. And I wanted to see him continue that. He banged knees with Dante DiVincenzo early on in this game. And I was really worried about that.
By the way,
what?
That was a play where also, Dante, are we allowed, we're allowed, like, forearm shivers now? Just, like, boom. Like, Dante goes right at De'Aaron, extends his arm. No call.
Calm down.
We're just letting that.
It's a physical game. It's a missed call. They missed it.
That's right. I'm pro official. I forgot. Oh, man.
You don't have to be pro or against. I mean, like,
yeah.
There's going to be things that happen that are missed, but also, like, when they are obvious, it is frustrating.
Let's get to some people in the live chat. Morgan Reagan with a poll question tonight. How do you feel after game one? The options, not bad, some good, some bad. Next option, Cooper flag watch.
Jesus.
I think I'm more of an Ace Bailey guy at the moment.
I don't know.
Rutgers, stand up.
Okay.
And then the last option is, it's fine, 81 to go. 51% of people vote, not bad. Some good, some bad. 35% say it's fine, 81 to go. So you know what? The majority of people tonight are being rational with their voting. I appreciate
that. I feel like not bad, some good, some bad. Or yeah, not bad, some good, some bad. And it's fine, 81 to go are kind of the same for people to choose from. Like you are actually tricking people into feeling one certain way, because the other one is very dramatic going the other direction, like, can't wait to be in the lottery.
Look, man, you want to come up with the poll questions?
I'm just putting that out there.
I'm not manipulating anything.
Yeah, like, literally.
Just the puppet master over here.
I'm
going
to tell people how to feel.
This is how you should feel. You either feel like you want Cooper flag number one pick or everything's fine, right? Okay.
So stupid, Deuce.
Let's get to some comments. This one says, tough loss for y'all. I thought the Kings were the better team all game, and then Ant gets superstar call for the win. Yeah. He got fouled on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, not a super. I thought Dude, he was
and,
just a star.
And what a move. I mean, he got Keegan and ISO. He got him.
Yeah.
And Anthony Edwards, dude, that guy is a problem. He's taking a shit ton of threes. That's the one area of his game where you're like, 5 of 15 for him tonight. But, I mean, he took over this game late. It felt like he had impact. And, you know, the Kings were doing some interesting things, I thought, in the first half, like just trying to get the ball out of his hands and make sure to rotate out on guys. And I thought they did a good job on that. But I thought Ant had much more success dealing with that. And then, okay, let's just guard him one-on-one. He's very comfortable. He's like, I'm going to go ahead. I'm not scared of any matchup. And when you have a guy with that type of mentality, he does not give a shit who's in front of him.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It's very scary. I also like when him and Domas, or like Domas was like going up against him, you know, it felt like, I don't know why. I was thinking maybe they've gotten to know each other a little bit more because of starting five, Netflix, being at the red carpet. I don't know. But something we didn't mention, after we mentioned Sabonis only had however many assists, he knocked down threes.
I wasn't there yet, but you're right.
Oh, sorry, really?
No, I mean,
it was one of the goods that I'm like, oh my gosh, how have we not?
Sabonis was 3 of 4 from downtown tonight.
Hey.
Oh my God.
Hell yeah.
Hey, and there was one that he didn't take that. He still hesitates. Even in the mid-range. Gobert gave him space tonight.
That was frustrating.
In the fourth.
Yeah. That was a bad
one. And that's
when
they were clunky. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, God damn it. Like,
that was clunky.
It.
Yep. Clunky.
Yeah. Especially, these teams are going to give him space. They don't believe. I don't even think it's that they don't believe he can make it. They're going to he can do some damage inside. And he wasn't afraid attacking Gobert, which I liked. I thought he had some nice success going right at Gobert's chest and finding a way to use his footwork to finish around the rim. But these teams are going to live with him taking the mid-range because they know it takes him out of his game a little bit. He doesn't like it. Like, he thinks about it too much. And that's always been his thing. And tonight, I love the fact early in the season for him to... I think it was important for him to knock down a few in game one.
I agree.
If he went like 0-for-4 tonight,
he'd be like, let me take it on back.
Because he was 1-of-9 in the preseason. Yeah. And all of a sudden he starts 0-3, 0-4. And, you know, game one, maybe he's second guessing. And so I think that he's a confidence guy. He sees it go in a couple of times. He'll keep launching them. And yeah, I mean, that would be a game changer if he's able, obviously, you're not going to knock down 75% of your 3-point attempts, but in a game where he can knock down 3-of-4, that's massive.
Gobert had to respect it a little bit throughout the game and had to think twice about it as well, right? Yep. And so that's exactly what you want teams to do. So if we can see around that many attempts and it actually go in, great.
B-Stone says, Fox and DeRozan still seem like they're figuring out each other's dynamic on the court, but I think they'll complement each other well as things continue to gel. Yeah, I saw enough in the preseason to think it'll look pretty good. There was definitely things I could tell because that... the Kings are trying to run more plays right now, and DeRozan maybe not in the right spot at times.
Yeah.
You know, and he's playing with a group out there that they've been playing together for, this is their third year now. Like, this is like second nature for them it's not like it's a complicated thing to pick up, but it's just different, right? It's a little different than maybe he's used to playing. And so there's going to be adjustments because the Kings, the way they run their offense, 1-4, point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, 1-4. They're all interchangeable, right?
Yeah.
So that's different for some than some other teams. And, you know, they're not running just free flow all the time. Sometimes they are. So I just think there is going to be a little bit of a learning curve as well, getting used to playing with some new teammates, which is very much expected. That's literally just what happened. Same thing with Minnesota. Like, it gets clunky, you know, with Randall at times. But it looked better tonight because he knocked down some shots.
That's it. They'll, as they're figuring it out, especially, it's already game two.
Yeah. Phillips says, relax, we'll be 1-1 soon. Next game is Lakers. Easy. Ooh, I don't know about that one. Nick says, I don't mind this loss one bit. When we pound L.A. Saturday after the Yankees pound L.A. Friday, I hate L.A.
Okay. Ooh, that would be a Deuce and Mo game.
That's a fact. That's a Deuce and Mo game.
Deuce and Mo on NBC. Right.
Budget Baller Brent says, suit Deuce should become a thing. I pretty much wear suits to every Kings home game.
Yeah.
Breaking news at this hour.
Oh, what are you breaking?
Not only is Deuce Mason with Morgan Reagan on Kings pre and post game live for Kings Lakers on Saturday, sources close to the situation tell us tonight, Deuce Mason will be on Kings live pre and post game a lot more this season.
I thought we already said this.
No.
Oh.
I don't think we did.
Holy shit, you're breaking it right now. I mean, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, breaking news tonight, this hour, we can tell you.
We have a key what report?
Personnel, a key race alert, yes, is usually what it's called.
Oh, yeah. We have a key personnel alert.
We got a Sacramento, California, capital city. Interesting. Last year, Deuce, scheduled to do 5 games. Ends up doing 17. Good, healthy number, showed growth. There's a good trend going for Deuce in Sacramento County. Sacramento County, it looks like it's flipping his way a little bit here, okay? If you start looking at this map, California in the background, capital city, Sacramento, city of trees, farm to fort, capital, whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
It's looking good. Deuce Mason, looks like that number is trending toward 50. Think about what that looked like this year. It's trending toward 50. We'll see how it plays out, but interesting numbers to watch. Wolf.
Your face is on the graphic. We're all on there.
I know, like, but like, I was on the graphics on last year. Okay. I got Keon Ellis treatment, you know? I'm playing 11 minutes.
We just want to play in every game. Just give us every game.
Oh, man. But anyway, so thanks for the support.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
For those who don't get, that was my John King impersonation. I haven't done it in a while. Jeff has a very serious thing he wants to get to at this moment, Morgan.
What?
Oh, stop glossing over how bad Herter is and how he coached the Kings the game.
I'm just so curious. Just tell me what was so bad.
I mean, he missed shots tonight. He played 19 minutes. I don't think he cost the Kings the game. Did he play? And how much did he play in the second half? Kevin Herter came out at the 5:26 mark of the third quarter and did not come back in the game. So, breaking news, I can tell you.
Your second quarter, but.
No, oh. Right here. I'm third quarter.
Oh, got it.
And he did not come back in the game. So, I can tell you with certainty, they did not lose because of Kevin Herter.
Back to you.
Back to you.
Yep. Good analysis. Yeah.
We got more of the podcast coming up. We still need to get to the player of the game.
Hell yeah, we do.
We still need to look ahead to Kings Lakers, and there's obviously other stuff to talk about around the league. Sorry, chat was distracting me. 11 no, minutes for you.
You're allowing the chat to distract you.
I'm a people person.
I mean, all you read was in all caps. 11 minutes for Keon?
Yeah.
That distracted you.
My bad.
Anything Keon related right now, Deuce is like, yeah.
All right.
On board.
We obviously can't do this without your support, so hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We appreciate you guys being here live after every single game, or if you listen after on demand, Spotify, all that. And we also can't be here without the support of local businesses who want to rock with us all the time. Shout out to our friends over at Mother.
Oh, mothersacramento.com. Yeah, that's because you can order online or you can go on in. And either way, the food is always amazing.
One of the best restaurants, yes, in Sacramento. Do Facts. Not sleep on Mother. They used to be on K, like by the arena, yeah, back in the day. And now they are back and better than ever at 2319 K Street.
It's the
Morgan.
Best location, you guys. Like, seriously, before every single game, it's like, oh, why should I go there? Just to eat good food? No, not the only reason. You should go pregame with your mother. And this means 50% off all drinks before every single Sacramento Kings game, home or away. It doesn't matter. Just go on a game day, 50% off all drinks. I don't know. Maybe you like a soda. Maybe you like wine. Maybe you like beer. Doesn't matter. 50% off all drinks. Go pregame with your mother.
And try the po' boy. You can order online or just go in person. MotherSacramento.com.
I love that you throw in try the po' boy. Yeah, it's iconic.
Yeah, it's my thing, Morgan. I know.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Also, shout to our very new partner, Golden One Credit Union.
We are one.
Golden One Credit Union believes together we are all one, and it pays to be a Kings fan at Golden One Credit Union because you can get up to 50% off Kings games, Morgan Reagan, 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. There's so many perks, so you need to become a member at goldenone.com because
we are one,
and that's how you win as one.
I thought we were going to chant. We are one. Don't.
We are one.
Thank you.
Become a member.
Yeah.
Golden One Credit Union. Sacramento.
At this point, it's just like, are you even a Kings fan if you're not Golden One?
So many perks.
Yeah. Just do it.
GoldenOne.com. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. They are back with us again. They also bring you the player of the game we'll get to. Morgan, Northwest Exteriors is a no-brainer. Getting new windows on your house changes the value of your house. It makes your house not freezing in the wintertime. It keeps you nice and cool in the summertime. Energy efficient. It's a game changer. And that's not all. They do HVAC.
They do windows. They do a little bit of everything. But when you think about the new HVAC system that is now right here in the Deuce Mo podcast studios, and you think about when it was hot in October, and I was like, oh no, are we going to be able to use the HVAC like anytime soon? Yeah, it was 100 degrees in October, and the windows were keeping the heat out. The HVAC was keeping it all cool inside, and money was being saved. So make sure to check out Northwest Exteriors.
Yeah, check out northwestexteriors.com. They don't subcontract out. All the people who have been there at that company have been there forever. NorthwestExteriors.com because they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
You're hitting it. Good job. Well done.
Pause.
What?
Nothing. Let's get to our player of the game.
Okay.
Who would be your player of the game? You're simply the best player of the game. Who would be yours?
Okay, mine. Keegan.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's Keegan Murray, the simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. He He had 23 points, 11 rebounds, 2 dimes, 8 of 17 shooting. He was 5 of 10 from downtown. Missed that one late. That would have been for the win. Man.
Yeah, that was tough. But you look at his whole game, you know, 11 rebounds alone, just being aggressive on the boards, making his threes, being efficient. I loved it. And also, that doesn't even show what he was doing on the defensive end, right? You think about that. He has so many tough assignments, and he's still capable of just, like, being really good on both ends of the floor.
Could be a two-way stud. I was really encouraged by what I saw tonight. When Keegan's hitting threes, he is getting rebounds, playing good defense. Yeah. He's a special player.
Agreed. And
that's the guy you want to see entering year three in the NBA. Can he do this on a consistent basis? It would be an absolute game changer for the Kings in the West.
Facts.
We mentioned free throws as good too.
Oh, we mentioned
we mentioned it early. 35 free throw attempts for the Kings.
Yeah.
Do we give them any credit for only missing 7, even though they missed a couple in the fourth that I want to lose my mind over? Here's the one that killed me. DeMar DeRozan, he was 12 of 14 at the line, but he goes to the line in the first quarter, misses his first one. I'm going, no, you can't. You're like an 85% guy. Yeah, we can't have you missing free throws just because you put on a Kings uniform. Is this a Sacramento thing? Should I be concerned? Anyway, the Kings go 28 of 35 at the line. 80%.
I'll take it. I'll take it, especially after what we witnessed last year. I'm not setting the bar low. I'm just more like, first game, can we keep making our free throws? They got to the free throw line a lot. And I think that number alone excites me, especially against a team that has so many bigs, so many rim protectors. And we saw De'Aaron have so much trouble against length in McDaniels last year, and it just didn't seem to be a problem for him in tonight's game.
Next up for the Sacramento Kings, SoCal, a visit with the LA Lakers on Saturday night.
Am I excited for it? Not really. I'm a little nerve.
I'm nervous too.
Okay. What makes you so nervous, AD?
Speaking of ADD for a second, do we give DeMar DeRozan enough love for his 26 points? Because I feel like he did have 26
you
points.
You totally have ADD tonight.
I don't feel like we...
reading no, things.
Are you serious?
I saw you.
Of course I'm reading things. It's night chat. I read the chat.
I was waiting for you to respond about McDaniels and talk about how bad he's played the last two games.
You want me to add to that? Yeah, I agree. He hasn't looked good. He's making a lot of money. And if he's not able to lock down and play adequate defense, and he's not being more of an offensive option for the Wolves.
Thank you.
Then, yeah, that's a problem for them.
Next, DeMar.
You want more on McDaniels?
No, I want more on DeMar.
DeMar tonight. We talk about how it got clunky for a stretch, but we also need to acknowledge, like, the fact that he was getting to the free throw line and having a guy that just, like, is a foul merchant that when he's on another team, I get so irritated about. Yep. But when he's in Sacramento, I love it. Just go get me a bucket. And he plays at his pace like we've seen him do throughout his career, but you could just see why he's such a good asset. There was even a stretch. There was a DeMar Sabonis pick and roll, and DeMar kicks it out to Monk, and it leads to, you know, Monk going into an action with Sabonis. It's just there's so much you can do with that Sabonis, DeMar pick and roll. There's so many different ways you can use him, and I think the Kings offense is going to be really explosive because of it. And then just the fact that you have a guy that can go get you a bucket and get to the line, I think it's going to be really good for Sacramento.
Yeah.
Once they get all iron out some of the issues offensively.
Absolutely.
I'm excited to see how it comes
together.
And
I want to see them keep playing fast, too. That was something that they started the game with doing, not just because of De'Aaron Fox, but obviously getting stops as well. Minnesota wasn't playing their best game, but I think this entire roster can play fast. You know, even if DeMar is used to having more control of the basketball, it's not like, oh, he's willing to play fast. No, he's capable of playing fast. So, yeah, just little tweaks here and there as we continue on into the season.
He also had 8 rebounds in the game, too. Mm-hmm. 26 points, 8 rebounds for DeRozan in his debut. Keegan with 23 and 11. Sabonis had 24 and 8. So 3 players with 20 or more for Sacramento in this game.
Hell yeah.
Okay, Morgan Reagan.
Yeah.
Kings Lakers coming up next. You were like, oh, I feel like I'm a little nervous for this one. Yes, yes. And I think Kings fans, I'm just going to say, tap the brakes a little bit, acting like, hey, just because you slapped around the Lakers last year, I think this is a different Lakers team. And I know they've only played one game. They will be on the second. I have a back-to-back. They're playing Phoenix on Friday.
Cool, cool, cool.
So we'll have to watch that game. I thought watching their first game against Minnesota the other night, they looked like a well-coached team. You know, like Anthony Davis played like an absolute menace.
Yep.
When AD is playing like he did against Minnesota, there's not many that are better. That's a top 10, top 8 guy if he's playing both ends like that. He had 36 and 16. He's hitting threes. He's playing fantastic defense. I think J.J. Redick's going to put him in a great position to succeed. I just think they look like a really engaged team right now. They look together. It's one game. They could look like dog shit tomorrow night, whatever. But I'm just saying, I'm not looking at this going, hey, man, Kings, they're smack around the Lakers. I think it's going to be a hard game.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And I also think the Kings, it's not, when I say it's going to be a hard game, I think sometimes people just look at it like, oh, yeah, they have AD and LeBron, so of course they have the star power, they're going to win, whatever. And it's like, no. I just think it's going to be one of those games where the Kings defensively have to make sure that they're doing everything correct. For example, if Kevin Herter's out there and if he's getting hunted on the defensive end, like tonight, he did a great job of keeping his hands up, being in the right place at the right time, remaining aggressive. Just all these little things that I was excited to see with his first game back. And I think because he was uber focused on what type of effort he needs on that end of the floor. And it's going to be difficult to keep that up. And is that sustainable for him every single game? Well, you got to make it if you want to remain out on the floor.
The one thing that the Lakers really struggle with Sacramento, and we always talk about the Sabonis stat, like AD has never beaten Sabonis. Like Sabonis is 11-0 against AD, for what that's worth. It's more of, I actually just like the stat to troll more than anything. I understand, like, what's it really mean?
Yeah, it's not
like it's just those two fighting it out, right, in a game. But it's a good troll thing to do. The Kings guards destroyed the Lakers last year.
Yeah.
No answer for De'Aaron. No answer for Malik Monk. No answer for Davion at times, right? Like, so I think Fox is just, God, I should actually look up his splits real fast against the Lakers last year, because he was just like disgusting against them. Let me do that. Splits, Lakers.
And who, I mean,
you ready for this, Morgan?
Yeah, but I'm, yeah, okay.
Last year against the Lakers, Fox averaged in four games 32 points a game, 32 and a half points a game, 6 assists. Let's go to the game logs too, because this will be actually kind of interesting to look at. Also against the Lakers last year, so he went, the Kings won all four matchups. The first game he had 37. The next game he had 44. He had 21 and 28 against the Lakers. He cooked them last year.
Yeah. I mean, he felt, and it's like you said, there wasn't much of an answer for him. And I think what he started doing a really good job of was understanding what he could also do against bigs when he is in the paint. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to look for the foul first. I'm going to look to make my shot first and look to make the best shot. Is that in the mid-range? Is that a floater? Is that going into the chest of Anthony Davis? You know, like, he just made some really great decisions.
So, yeah, I think you have that type of mindset. Push the pace, consistent pace. Get that ball moving. Keep the Lakers on their heels. I mean, LeBron doesn't want to run around all the time. No. I mean, he wants to get out in transition, of course, and get downhill and do LeBron things that he still does.
Insane.
I saw some people on social media the other night go, he looks like he might have lost a step. I'm like, okay, I mean, fine. Maybe he did a little, but he's still, yeah, it's LeBron. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's
like he's still really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Even if he's lost a step and is almost 40 years old.
Yeah. I want a bounce back from Fox.
Yeah.
A bounce back game from Fox. Go at D'Lo. Austin Reeves can't guard him.
You say a bounce back, but
I thought
You just want a more dominant. But see, here's the thing. How is he supposed to have this? I guess he could still have more of a dominant game.
He was
6 of 14.
I don't think he was great in the second half.
No, and that's fair. I would say in the second half, because you have three guys scoring 20 plus in, you know.
And I think Fox could have had 20 plus in this game. They could have had four.
Okay.
Seriously. He has a better game.
I love the even scoring.
And all, like, it's De'Aaron Fox. Like, the guy averaged 26 a game last year. Like, we can say.
No, there was just so much I think I liked about his game, but you're right.
In the first half, I thought I loved everything.
Yes, yes. And that's why in the second, you know, if he could be a little bit more stronger in those areas, sure.
And DeMar going back home to L.A.
Yeah.
I know it's early in the NBA season, but a couple of things jumping out to me tonight in the league, because there was just, I think there was like four games in the league.
Yeah.
Washington. God. Just so bad. So bad.
Sucks, dude.
Boston beat him 122 to 102 in this game.
Okay. Boston looking dominant.
Yeah, Kyle Kuzma, 6 of 16, 0 for 5 from downtown. The Wizards in this game were 7 of 36 from 3, 19%. Boston, a game after they should have broken the record. How did they not get that 30 of 3 in that game?
Don't even get me started.
They missed their like final 12. They end up hitting 17 tonight, 17 of 45. Peyton Pritchard hit 5 of them. Derek White hit 4. Tatum had 25, 11, and 6. Also, I'm glad we're talking about this for a second.
About what?
I feel like I'm throwing hot takes left and right, but I was so happy for Jason Tatum opening night. All this shit over the offseason of people talking about him like he is like a bum. I'm just like, yes. Did he miss shots last year? His shot was messed up. It was messed up. He still found ways to impact the game because he's a really, really good player. You looked at his assist numbers. He played hard. Like, he just missed shots in the finals. And he had some rough outings. And then he doesn't even play really for Team USA.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't pout. You know what he does? This guy goes and works on his game and goes, I got to fix my shot. He changed it. He gets his shot back on track. And he looked awesome in that first game.
Different market. And I think people have different narratives and different weird.
I think it's more the Boston thing. I think
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think it's a weird expectation. Because like even Ant tonight, what did he end up shooting? You know, like how many threes did he jack up?
Six. He was 5 of 15 from three.
And if that was Jason Tatum, exactly. And so my point is, I just think it's very strange, and I'm so glad I'm not in a market where they just have very irrational standards for some of these people. So I'm with you.
So Boston now 2-0. That was Washington's home opener. They lost in that game by 21-22 to 102. Dallas San Antonio was interesting for a bit. Dallas got on a heater and kind of took over that game. They scored 73 points in the second half. They beat the San Antonio Spurs 120 to 109. Former King watch, Harrison Barnes, Morgan, 17 points.
Ooh.
On 7 of 10 shooting.
Damn.
He was close to being the leading scorer. He was tied in points. What was that? It was 17. Our guy Praneel just jumped in. Hi, Praneel. I don't think he meant to do this.
Really?
Praneel?
Can you guys hear me?
I got you. What's up, dude?
What's good?
Hey, what are you doing?
This is Cal Berkeley's Praneel on NightChat, dude, on our Discord.
I was studying for a quiz like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And then I stopped, and then I noticed you guys were on, so decided to hop in, talk some basketball.
Okay, give me one quick second. I'm going to go to you in a second. I want to finish what we were doing real fast. Hang on. Okay.
All right.
So Morgan, 120-109. Victor Wembanyama had 17 points. He had 9 rebounds in this game. But give some love to Klay. Klay Thompson, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 6 of 10 from 3. And what do you know? This guy is not having to be a movement shooter. Hey, Luka and some pick and roll action. There's so much attention. Who's going to be open? Klay Thompson.
And 3 steals, by the way.
Klay. We talked about Sabonis earlier knocking down threes and how he needs it for his confidence. Klay Thompson needed this game for his confidence.
Huge.
In the preseason, it didn't look pretty at times, but he wasn't playing with Luka and Kyrie. And what do you know, tonight, plays with those guys, looked pretty damn good. Luka at 28, 10, and 8. Klay with 22 and 7. Kyrie at 15 on 6 of 17. but they beat San Antonio 120-109. And the only other game tonight besides Sacramento, OKC 102, Denver 87.
Crazy.
I can't wait to go back and watch this game because Chet Holmgren, 25, 14, and 5 assists.
Damn.
4 blocks, 2 steals.
Oh, my God.
This guy's a freak.
Yeah.
Chet Holmgren was a monster. SGA had 28 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds in Oklahoma City. Although they're shorthanded right now, not a lot of size up front. With Hartenstein out, Williams out, they beat Jokic and the Nuggets 102-87. Jamal Murray 4-13 with 12 points. All right. As we slow things down a little bit, I do want to check in with our guy Pernille, who joined us, I think, initially on our when you first called in the night chat, were you like 15 or 16? Pernille?
Wait, I think, sorry. I'm on Discord mobile. It's low-key whack. But I want to say 15.
Wow.
I was like, 15 in like 3 months or something like that.
And now you're in college.
Now he's at Cal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild turn of events.
Watching them choke a game against Miami. How crazy you got to witness that. Anyway, let's not harp on Cal Berkeley's issues as a football program. Pernille, what do you think of the game tonight? What did you like? Let's start this. What did you like about tonight?
One thing, that Cal game was not like a one-off thing. We've lost 4 straight games we've choked leads. It's horrific. I don't even know what they're doing. It's pretty bad. But on the Kings, first things first, Keegan Murray looked amazing. I thought for a chunk of that game, he looked like our best player on the court. I'll be honest. Like, he was everywhere defensively. Yeah. Offensively, he was hitting threes. You see the development inside the arc as well. Like, he looks so, so, so good. I am really excited to see how he progresses. And, I mean, there was worries that DeMar would limit his shots and would limit his production. But as you can see, this offense flows very well, and everyone will get theirs. And Keegan looked just phenomenal. Like, hands down, amazing.
Completely agree. What was the bad? And what was the bad then? Because I feel like there's a butt coming.
Yeah. I would say the bench could see more. And I think I was discussing this a little bit in the Discord earlier, but we need to shoot the 3 ball a little bit more. I think the game, obviously, there was like 2 runs, I think 11-0 and 9-0, that were pretty bad in the second half. But I'd say the game came down to the 3-point differential. They made 9 more threes than us, and we shot 21 less threes than them. And guys like Fox shot 4 threes. Monk shot 2 threes.
Yep.
Only Keegan was our high-volume 3-point shooter today. And Domas was our second most efficient 3-point shooter after Keegan. And, I mean, I love that Domas is shooting the 3-ball. He's shooting with confidence. He looks great shooting the ball. But I want to see other guys shoot 3 ball more. Herter only had 3 threes. And obviously Herter, it's clear that he's still getting back into the swing of things.
Yep.
There's conditioning there that needs to be added. Same thing with Trey Lyles. I thought Trey Lyles was pretty bad today, but like, I'm going to take that with a grain of salt because he's still getting back into the flow of things. But yeah, you see the team slowly start to figure a way to like play with each other. It's the first game of the regular season. And then finally actually implementing the offense that we're accustomed to running. I know they ran flow the entire preseason. We were actually seeing the sets that we're used to. I remember seeing, I think there was a couple plays where you would essentially have Herter be at like the top of the key. You'd just do a little post entry to him and then run splits around him. And I thought that was a really cool wrinkle that they added. And it everyone was moving. It looked great. It's just, you need to like shoot the 3 ball a little bit more, and then the bench needs to look a little better.
The number
that will come with time.
The number that I threw out earlier is, you know, they shot 29 threes. That would be last in the NBA last season in
exactly.
3-point attempts. So like, yeah. And I think they left some on the table too, with like some of the decisions to take some tough mid-range shots instead of like kicking out and moving the ball. So I thought overall, like, I like how they competed tonight. There was definitely some good, and you see like, okay, they could be a really explosive offensive team. And you know, I thought they even battled with the size a little bit. They didn't get crushed on the glass. It was pretty close. 42-38. Keegan rebounding well.
Keegan was amazing. Keegan was amazing on the glass.
Yeah. So now the one thing we mentioned earlier, Morgan agrees with this, I think, is just like 43 minutes for Keegan, 42 for DeRozan, 39 for Sabonis. I mean, you're just not going to fly. So like you said,
exactly.
Got to get the bench involved. And hopefully with Trey and Herter coming back, it'll be all right. But
yeah, dude, and one thing I do want to add is Keon Ellis only played 11 minutes. Yeah. And I thought in that fourth quarter when Ant was playing really well, was going off, you could have seen Keon in there playing good minutes for you. And he could have done a lot. And I thought Fox had a really good first 2.5 quarters, I'd say. And then he struggled in the fourth. I thought defensively that was one of the better games I've seen from him. And if he keeps that intensity up, this team will be completely fine defensively. But I would have liked to see Keon a little bit more, especially in that fourth quarter. And he had some decision-making lapses. You can see him still also getting back to the swing of things. There was that steal that was fun, and then he just shot an errant floater, which can't really happen. But, like, I would have liked to see Keon in there, especially for the defensive side of things. But
I agree,
overall, man, the way I see this, we looked on the exact same tier as Minnesota in our first game. Like, this team will compete. This team is in that upper echelon, without a doubt in my mind. Like,
let's go, Purdue!
Everything I saw today are things that will stay, and everything that I didn't see are things that I think will improve to some degree.
Yeah.
And they competed, and this was a loss that I talked with Jill earlier, and she said this was a loss that was lost on the margins, which essentially just means you lost by like such a tiny amount that it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
And the Kings are losing in that way against a team that was the 2 seed last year, we'll be completely fine. There are absolutely no worries in my mind when it comes to this. The rotation things will get fixed. The scoring, like the shot distribution will get fixed. And this team looks good. The offense looks great. Defense looks solid. And I'm really excited for the new year. I think they'll be fine.
Let's go, Pernille. Appreciate you checking in, dude. Good hearing from you.
For sure. And I'm excited for new year.
Let's go. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Pernille.
They pump you up a little bit there, huh?
A little.
Okay. Okay, let's quickly get to a couple of these because they're here. I mean, they just show up and I just want to be nice. What's up, Joel?
Oh, what's up, Deuce? Thanks for bringing me on.
How are you, man?
Hi, Joel.
What's on your mind?
Hey, Mo. Well, to be honest, the thing on my mind is if you lost the tie for Pernille, will you lose some buttons for me?
That's Joel, funny.
You're such a creep.
And you, it's creepy. Oh. Deuce is unbuttoning as he speaks to you. That's
I don't have control of my
the
hand
The real puppet master is Joel.
Joel, relax.
I'm a prophet.
Okay, Joel.
Okay, I'm relaxed. Sorry. I was a little hot.
Proceed.
What do you have?
What do I have? Well, first of all, couldn't get into the show last night. The bouncer was holding me outside against the wall, and he said that you guys were sold out, but he didn't like my ticket that I printed out, but that's okay.
Are you being serious?
I was trying to get in, and he was like, "Nah, sorry, they're sold out." And
did you really bring a fake ticket?
I brought a fake ID, fake ticket. Don't know why I had a fake ID.
You're trolling. You're trolling. But that's funny. That's a funny one.
Good bit.
Yeah, you could have sold it better. C-.
Thanks, dudes. Anyways, I thoughts about the game. I was really impressed by how well DeMar DeRozan just seamlessly fit into the Kings lineup. Like, he just went out and got his, and it looked like he never left Chicago, to be honest. He was super comfortable. And he played super well with Sabonis as well. I thought that both of their kind of dominating presences did not clash, and they fit very well together.
Look at him being. By the way, Joel's a Warriors fan, so like for him to like say anything, like it's I'm a little caught off guard by his like basketball analysis, because typically what he does is just make
troll.
He doesn't troll. He just makes creepy comments about me.
I don't know. That's not true.
Oh, no. In our Discord, he does.
Oh, well, not.
But no, yeah, you don't read it.
That's fine. But he doesn't make creepy comments. Like,
you don't understand what I have to deal with creepy comments, Morgan, on a regular basis.
Oh, it must be so hard.
You do not get those type of comments.
White man in America.
No one ever tells
you. You egg me on, dude.
Yeah, I thought DeRozan, we talked about earlier, like there's definitely stretches. It looked awesome. There were stretches where, they're still trying to figure some stuff out. But ultimately, DeRozan's a great basketball player. Like he knows how to play the game. And so I think it's going to be a good fit.
Yeah, absolutely. And are we gonna cut the bait on Trey Lyles? Or are we keeping him around? Because he looked like a sack of potatoes tonight.
Okay. You go with this like nice thing. You know, this is his first game back. He didn't play the goddamn preseason.
I didn't realize that. That's fair.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Right. He didn't realize it.
All right, Joel. Do you have anything else before we go?
That's all. Good to hear your voices, guys. Great job tonight.
Bye, Joel.
Oh, God. It's ridiculous. All right, last one. What's up, Jask?
Hi, guys.
What's up, man? What's on your mind?
Nothing much, actually. I think today was a good game for both teams. Fair. Besides, you know, Ant going off and Julius Randle being a Kings killer, of course, as his whole career he is. But I think it was good. I liked how Keegan did today, double-double. Of course, shout out to him. He did good for my fantasy. Shout out to him, of course. Shout out to Domas for my fantasy, too. But I wish he got a double-double. But besides that, I wish Fox in the fourth, you know, did more. But it's fine. You know, it's first game of the season. But DeMar, first game. It's not bad at all. I think he did good. Same thing happened with him in the fourth with De'Aaron. But besides that, I think we did good. You know, if Keegan made that shot, it probably would have been.
Yeah. If Keegan made that shot, I think there'd be fog in here. The fog machine I would actually have in my mouth.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay, that is kind of weird. Okay.
I said the fog machine though, so that's
doesn't.
That's still weird.
Thank you.
Jask, I wasn't asking you. I was asking you,
but go on.
All right.
I hope, you know, tomorrow, not tomorrow, I mean Saturday. I know. It's a different Laker team.
I agree. It's going to be fun to see it all.
It's kind of like, okay, we get it. It's the same roster, but they don't got Darvin Ham. And I'm going to say this. Darvin Ham was not good at I was like, okay, he was in the playoffs for his 2 years as a coach, but the whole time that was just LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
Did LeBron pay you to say this?
No, I mean, the Lakers definitely, and I appreciate you checking in, Jask. We'll talk to you soon. The Lakers definitely have, like, I don't love their depth, but, you know, there's a little more structure. There's a little more creativity offensively that you've seen from J.J. Redick implementing in the preseason and in the regular season. And, like, they have an intriguing rookie in Dalton Connect who can come in and knock down shots, play with confidence. Seems like, I don't know how much he's going to play, but he looks like a guy that could get more minutes as the season goes on. So, final thoughts on this one. Game one of 82.
Buckle
up for the goddamn journey. And I'm going to apologize for something. I've said GD like 1,000 times on the show today. I think I'm tired, so I've been leaning on that. And that's my post-game press
conference. Damn it, Deuce.
My post-game press conference. Seriously, though, 1 of 82. I'm so excited to be on this journey with all of you as we embark on the 40th season of Kings basketball. I think it's going to be a fun season. You lose the first one, you bounce back Saturday. You lose that one, season's over. We quit this and never do anything again.
No,
we'll just be on this together. This is what we've been doing for the fifth season of Night Chat. And again, thank you so much to everyone who has participated in the chat. Hit thumbs up, subscribe, and thanks so much to everyone who showed up to the live show last night at Harlow's.
I also said this to Deuce, but he didn't agree with this necessarily. I wanted people, if you were at the live show and you've never left a review on our Spotify and or on our Apple podcast, leave a review. You can leave it about the live show. You can leave it about the podcast. Either way, we're just always looking to keep building this thing, and reviews and 5 stars
spread
always help.
The word. Thank and we you plan guys. On doing another live show at some point, probably before the playoffs if they were able to make it.
At some point.
Yeah. And I like to assume things because I thought we would have had one last year, but we did not. But
don't assume. Game one.
For those who are not there, again, we are dropping tomorrow or today, Friday, on our YouTube channel, the full Harlow's live show that we did. It's different.
Let me tell you.
Thanks so much to the super chats. I got to give love to people who became members tonight, including Denise. Thank you so much, Denise. SG Sports Talk channel. Thanks so much to Gavano for gifting one sub. Oleg saying, missing free throws in the fourth hurt the Kings. Appreciate the donation. And shout out to Kenneth, who is now a member for 28 straight months.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate all you guys for being here. We love you guys. But we got to go.
We'll see you Saturday.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.